Lord, between now and the time school opens in the fall. And that's the second thing I'd like you to pray about, if you would. September, Brother Byron Fox, the editor of the songbook you use, Bible Truth songbook, Brother Byron Fox is having a 3-day God Bless America crusade in Charlotte, North Carolina. We've rented the Bojangles Arena. It seats 10,000 people. We think we're going to have a choir of about 1,000 people. Now listen to this. In the last week of July, in the 4 weeks of August, we are asking the church members of the Fundamental Baptist Churches in the Charlotte area to show up every morning, afternoon, and evening that they can. Some people are taking a week of their vacation to do this. And we have 1.2 million door hangers, gospel tracts, and invitations that we want to put on 1.2 million doors in Charlotte and the surrounding area, telling people how to get saved and inviting them to the crusade. Now, we have told the three evangelists, do not preach to Christians. And we've told the church members, don't come expecting to get preached to if you're saved. This is for you to bring in, invite in, drag in, however, lost people that you know into this Coliseum. And we're praying for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to get saved. Plus, it's going to be webcast all around the world. And now, here's what I want you to pray for me in that respect. Because Brother Fox asked me and several evangelists if we would donate some time there. And be there for a mini service in the 5 weeks leading up to it every morning. And 100 to 500 people will show up at a staging area. We'll have a 10-minute sermon where I preach to them, encourage them, send them out. They'll knock on doors, get hot. Charlotte in August is hot and humid. And then they'll come back for lunch. We'll have a mini sermon. They'll go back out in the afternoon. They'll come back for supper. People who are getting off work will join us. And we're trying to knock on 1.2 million doors. And then I'm supposed to go in to the churches in the area who have invited me in. There's a 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9 churches to preach, to motivate, stimulate biblically the people to commit, to pray, as you're doing for meeting coming up in August, and to fill that arena with lost people. Can you imagine the impact it would have for people to get saved? Now, we don't agree with a lot that he did and said, particularly later in his life. But hundreds of thousands of people were saved through Billy Graham's ministry. Do you know where he got saved? He got saved in a tent meeting one night as a teenage boy in Charlotte, North Carolina. And so we're praying that God will get a hold of that city. We are doing so many things, I'm not taking the time to explain it to you, but it's just going to be a big event if we don't have the hand of God and the power of God on it. And so, if you would, you can write GBAC, Brother Miller. That's God Bless America Crusade. And pray for God to help me, preaching 3 times a day, even 10-minute sermonettes. And then one place Sunday morning, one place Sunday night, another place Wednesday night with limes. 2-3 hours just wears me out, right now. And so pray for me if you would, and continue to pray for my wife. I'm glad I have a wife who will let me go away for 3 weeks and do something like that. And so pray for her, pray for me, pray for the crusade, and we're sure going to be praying for your meeting here. In Sunday school this morning, we started a 3-part series. This is part 2, part 3 is tonight, on how to get your prayers answered. How to get your prayers answered. You know, there's something wrong. When we Christians are praying about things specifically, about certain matters, and yet we have so many lost family members, lost neighbors, cold, hardened to the gospel, communities, and a country and states that are making one political decision after another, just sort of poking God in the eye with our finger with some of the laws that we're passing that are contrary to God's clear, thou shalt not. And there's something wrong that we can't pray and see that turned around. There's something wrong with that. And there's something wrong if I have somebody, one of my children or grandchildren who I'm praying for, who will one day die without Christ and go to hell. There's something wrong with that. God, we saw in Sunday school, scripture verse after scripture verse after scripture verse, once and is able and wants to answer our prayers. We saw in Jeremiah 33:3, turn to John 1:12. In Jeremiah 33:3, we saw God say, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Excuse me. God wants to answer our prayers and is able to answer our prayers. We saw the verse in Matthew 7, where Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. And then we saw the verse a few statements later where he said, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Now, it is obvious, though, in reading the Bible, that not everyone gets their prayers answered. We said that verse just said, everyone that asketh, receiveth. Jesus said that. But he does put some qualifications on the prayers if we are going to expect an answer to prayer. And this morning's sermon is entitled, whose prayers does God answer? Whose prayers does he answer? Because he says in one place, we'll see this verse tonight, he says in one verse, he said he says something that really offends him, and he says that the Lord will not hear you. There are some things that can cause God not to hear us, not to listen to us. But in this morning's sermon, I want you to see whose prayers God answers. Whose prayer God answers. Now, in Sunday school this morning, we saw that Jesus' disciples came to him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. And in Matthew 6, Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And how did he start what we call the Lord's Prayer? How did he start it? Our Father. Our Father. So number one in the sermon this morning is, God answers the prayers of his children. Of his children. Look here in John 1:12. You say, well, who's a child of God? Well, look actually in John 1:11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12. But as many as received him, talking of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, identified in verse 7 and 8 and 9. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's pray. Father, we, your children, ask you to teach us this morning, instruct us, bolster our confidence in your ability and promise to answer our prayers. Help us to qualify and get qualified and stay qualified to get our prayers answered so we're not just bouncing words off the wall. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jesus said, pray this way. Our Father, which art in heaven. We also saw in Matthew chapter 7, where in Sunday school this morning, where Jesus said that if we being evil sinners know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Folks, there are earthly fathers who aren't always good. Some fathers abandon their children even. That's sad. But God is good to his children. He's holy. He not only doesn't abandon us, he meets our needs. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him, the Bible says. Now, when my kids were still at home, if the neighbors asked me for something, I might give it to them. Usually not. But if my children asked me, I gave it great consideration. And if it was possible, I gave them what they asked for. Well, what was the difference, Brother Miller? Did you love your kids more than the neighbors? Yes, that's right. But not only that, they weren't my responsibility. I remember telling a young man one time, he was asking me for this and asking me for that, and I said, hey, go home and ask your dad. I actually told him, go home and ask his father for it, you see. He said, oh, okay. I said, now, you know, I'm not being mean to you. I give you things sometimes, but I got to take care of these kids right here. You go ask your dad for that. Well, the Bible says that when we trusted Christ as our Savior, when we received Him as our Savior, we were authorized to become the sons of God. That word gave He the power. That word power in the Greek is exousia. That means authority. We're authorized to be the children of God at that point. He won't say to us, hey, go ask your dad. He is our, and I say this reverently, dad. At that point, He is our dad. The New Testament says, now then, to those who believe on Christ, now then, we are the sons of God. And as our Father, we can ask Him, and He will meet our needs. He'll answer our prayers. In fact, the Bible says that if we don't know how to ask Him properly for something, that we have the Holy Spirit who will intercede for us, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, in the English, little children, one of the first words they learn, because it's too, never mind, I won't go into consonants and all that stuff. But one of the first words they learn is dada, right? Dada. Dada. Or daddy. Well, Abba, Father, that's what the Hebrew children would learn in their Jewish language. Abba, that was daddy. You see, Brother Miller, that's kind of familiar, isn't it? Yes, we are the sons of God. We can cry, Abba, Father. There have been times I got on my knees and said, Daddy! Father! I need you to act like a father. I need you. I need your help. We can do that. He answers the cry of His children. Hey, not only that, but He answers the cries of His obedient children. Now that's different than children. There's two types of children, right? Obedient and disobedient. And tonight we're going to see that when we're willfully disobedient, it will hinder our prayers. But when we're obedient, it promotes the idea of God answering our prayers. Go to Psalm 34. We're going to look at the Old Testament and New Testament. Go to Psalm 34. In Sunday school this morning, we looked at Psalm 34, verses 1 to 8. But I want you to see Psalm 34, verse 14. Psalm 34, verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. There's disobedient and obedient. Depart from evil, disobedient. Do good, obedient. Seek peace and pursue it. Now, here's a promise about prayer. The eyes of the Lord are upon the backsliders, the rebels. The eyes of the Lord are upon the what? Righteous. And His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Go down to verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. These verses teach us that God
sees,
hears, answers the prayers of those who are right with Him. Obedient children. Now, in 42, starting this fall, years in the ministry, 41 complete, 28 of those have been in Bible college work, so I've been a teacher. And I know that they tell us that teachers aren't supposed to have favorites, but I do. You say, shame on you, Brother Miller. Well, I don't look at people and say, where'd Brother Charlie go? Oh, there he is. Brother Charlie's got too many wrinkles in his face. I don't like him very well. Yeah. I don't say, I love this couple over here. She plays, he sings. I'm going to be nicer to them than I am to Brother Charlie. She plays something. I don't know how many strings are in this instrument. String for every key. He just plays something with what? 6, 7 strings? Huh? 12 strings. And I pick and choose favorites. Now, I don't pick favorites that way. I don't say, let's see, in this class I've got 9 girls and 10 guys. I favor the guys. I'm not talking about that. It's just hard to favor somebody who always turns in their homework late, who always has an excuse, who I can hardly read what they wrote. It's always sloppy. Or it's a 9-page paper. It was printed out of their computer printer, and I can read it, but they don't even have the pages in the right order. I'm reading page 1, 2, and then all at once I'm reading something that doesn't make sense, and they don't have the pages numbered, and I have to go back and collate everything right. It's just hard. It's hard to favor people who don't obey the rules, who don't pay their bill on time. I mean, here I am out raising money to pay for their food in the cafeteria, their lights in the dorm, and they're not paying their room and board bill on time. It's just hard to favor people. And it's easy to favor people who turn their work in early, and it's neat, and you can read it, and they study, and they're trying to get all they can in preparation for the Lord's work. It's just easier. You know, that difficulty and easy and favoritism based on merit, not as a respecter of persons, not out of prejudice, based on merit, that's the way God does it. He says here that He's going to cut off the remembrance of them that are evil on the earth. But the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. God answers the prayers of the righteous. What does it say in James 5:18? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, folks, we're getting puny answers to prayer. Maybe we're not righteous. Much. Well, how much, Brother Miller? Well, God gives us the example in James 5. He says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. That means if it's hard for you to pray, it was hard for Elijah to pray. If it was hard for you to stay awake while you're praying, it's hard for him to stay awake while he is praying. If he'd rather sit in a cool place rather than get on his bony knees and agonize in prayer, if you'd rather do that, that's the way he felt too. He's subject to like passions. Hey, did you ever get down to pray? And you're praying about something pertaining to God, the church, the meeting coming up in August, and you think an improper thought? Have any of you, I won't ask you what, but have any of you ever been praying to God and all at once an improper thought comes in your mind? You think of somebody you're mad at the church, somebody didn't treat you right, or some immoral thought or something. How many of you ever thought an improper thought while you're praying? Elijah did too. How do you know? It says he was subject to like passions like as we are. But he tried to stay right with God. And the Bible says he prayed that it wouldn't rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's a big answer, isn't it? God, show them that you're God. Bring judgment on this land. Don't let it rain. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then it says, and he prayed after 3.5 years, And God brought rain upon the earth again. Folks, don't we need not the mercy drops around us, a soul saved here and a soul saved there, but the showers of blessing? Don't we need that? Then let's get righteous and pray for the showers of blessing. I don't think I've been here since this happened. I forget when Pastor called me and had me here the last time. It wasn't really scheduled, but he was having health trouble, and sometime in the spring he had me. But I don't think I was here since this happened. If I was, and I already told you this, just chalk it up, use it for reinforcement. But a pastor in Perth Amboy, New Jersey called me, and his name's Bill Garrick. And he said, I want you to come preach our Evangelism Sunday. Did I tell you about this? Good. Because, folks, this ought to encourage you to sign up for that prayer list and be praying then and other times and be right with God so God avails much and gives you the showers of blessing in your August meeting. He said, will you come preach for us for Evangelism Sunday? I just like the name of that. Evangelism. I said, yes, amen. He said, now, I want to warn you, do not preach a sermon to Christians. Don't preach on prayer, don't preach on tithing, don't preach on reading your Bible, don't preach on holy living. It's Evangelism Sunday. Our church, once a year, he said, now we try all year long, but once a year we pull out all the stops. We try to pack our building out with lost people. We bring them in. We have a shorter than usual song service. I want your music group to sing a couple songs, not as many as they ordinarily do. We'll have them back for that. He said, I want you to get up and preach a 20-minute or less message. Just make the gospel plain and clear. We have prayer chains going on around the clock. We're going to feed everybody that comes. And man, did they feed us. They fed us shrimp gumbo and all sorts of stuff. Man, it was good. He said, we are going to have Pack a Pew Day. We're going to have Friend Day. It's all rolled up into one. Now, their auditorium, it's First Baptist Church. It's an old building right in the center of town. And their auditorium seats about twice as many as this does. It has two sections, go way back. And ordinarily, in their church, it's about half full, and they have about 115 people there on an ordinary Sunday. Our ladies group prayed. Our Bible college students prayed. I prayed. I told some preachers about it. They prayed. Their people had a prayer chain. They prayed. They invited people. Prayer is never a substitute for obedience. The Bible says, go out in highways, hedges, and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. One elderly lady filled up four pews right over here, the first four pews, with people. A man came up to me and said, Brother Miller, I want you to meet two of my co-workers and their husbands. He invited his co-workers to come from New York City. This is right across the bridge from New York City, the Gothels Bridge. And so they ended up that day with over 200 people in their auditorium, double what they ordinarily have. Over 200 people. That meant about 80 or 90 of them were lost. Isn't that wonderful? He said, it's terrible, they're lost. That's what we wanted. We wanted to tell lost people how to get to heaven. They had a short song service. The ladies had a short, couple specials. He introduced me. I got up and I preached. We had the invitation. I quit counting how many people came forward to pray to trust Christ their Savior at 22. I quit counting. Say, why'd you quit counting? He needed more counselors. The pastor was sitting right here on the edge of the platform leading three men to Christ. Every counselor he had who was trained to show somebody how to be saved had three or four people. And I was counting the people who came forward to get saved. I said, if you're already saved, don't come forward. If you need to get right where you're standing. Only come forward if you're bringing somebody forward who's your guest. And I quit counting at 22 because they needed me to help down there at the altar. The young ladies in my singing group, I said, I wonder how many came forward to get saved. They said, it must have been over 40 because you quit counting at 22 and we started counting after that to see who was coming forward. You say, man, I'd like to see in our tent meeting 40 people get saved, or I'd like to see 22 get saved. All right. Here's the way to get it done. Two things. Number one, get lost people there. You can't get saved people saved again because they have eternal life. Get lost people there. Invite lost people. If you want 22 people to get saved, you've got to have 22 lost people there. Number two, pray that they'll come. Pray that the preacher will have the right message. Pray for his filling of the Holy Spirit. Pray that the singers will be used of God to move people's hearts toward God. Pray for the invitation. Pray. The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much, the Bible says. So, God answers the prayers of His children. He particularly promises to answer the prayers of those who are right with Him, of a righteous man. Let me show you an instance. Go to John 15. In John 15, Jesus said that He's the vine, we're the branches. He talks about bearing fruit. And when He talks about bearing fruit, He says He wants us to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. He expects us to bear much fruit. And He ties it in to getting our prayers answered. Look at verse 7. If ye abide in Me, that means you're saved. And My words abide in you, that means you're obedient. His words. The Bible lives in you. You don't just know it up here. Look. You live it out here. Okay? You live it here. Ooh. You live it here. You live it here. You live it here. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. We abide in Him, we're saved, and His words abide in us. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. God promises to answer the prayers of the righteous. Look at verse 16. You've not chosen Me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go. That's a command, isn't it? And bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That's being a soul winner. When you win somebody to Christ, when you bring somebody to church, they get saved. They'll never perish, but they have everlasting life. That's fruit that remains, right? How long does it remain? Everlasting. But look what he puts onto that. If we go and use our time and talents and abilities to reach the lost, He says, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to answer your prayers. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in My name, He may give it you. God said He would answer the prayers of those who are obedient, righteous, and working to get people saved. Not only that, but number three, He answers the prayers of His children. He answers the prayers of His obedient children. He answers the prayers of those who pray in Jesus' name. Look here in this chapter 15, verse 16. The last part of the verse, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in My name, He may give it you. In John 14, He says that also. In John 16, He says that also. In My name, in My name. Now, if you found one of my checks, and I hadn't made it out to you, and I hadn't signed it, and you go, man, I need some money. I'll pay Brother Miller later, but I need $100 right now. And so you find one of my checks, it's blank, and you make it out to your name, amount, $100 and no cents. And then you sign your name at the bottom of my check. And you take it into the bank. And you take it to my bank. So they'll honor it. And they do know me at my bank. I've been banking there for 5 years and I've witnessed everybody there. I've given them tracts. I've invited them to church. I've preached to some of them. They know me. And one of them's looking at this check and they're looking at you and it has your name down there. And they say, just a minute. And they take the check and they look on the check signing authorization card. Any of you who have ever opened a checking account had to sign a card with your signature, right? And on that card, they would see the name of Bruce Miller and the name of Sharon Miller, but your name's not on there. And they would come back and they would say to you, I'm sorry, we can't cash this check. Why not? It's made out to me. Because you're not authorized to sign it. See? Now, at the college, suppose you found a college check and you said, let's see. I'll send the money to that college later, but I need $100 right now. And you find a college check and you make it out to yourself, $100, and you sign it. They'd look on there and they'd say, sir, are you Clinton White? No. Well, he's authorized to sign on this account. Are you Joanna Lewis? No, she's authorized to sign on it. Are you Bruce Miller? No. Are you Sharon Miller? No. Well, you're not authorized. Look, this is a check authorization signature card. You're not authorized to sign these checks. Now, if you could get Clinton White or Bruce Miller or Sharon Miller or Joanna Lewis to sign that check, now they're going to take the check, stamp it. Do you want this $100 in 20s, 10s, 5s, 1s? How do you want it? And you're going to get it. Why? Because you didn't go there in your name. You went there in Clinton White's name, Bruce Miller's name, or Joanna Lewis' name, or Sharon Miller's name. See? And Jesus is authorized to get your prayers answered. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, I need to warn you about this. Keep this connected with being a righteous man. My wife has been good to me, and we've been married for 41 years at the end of this month. And I mean, she is a good wife. She got up at 4:30 this morning to make sure I got off okay. She's a good wife. But suppose she said what all wives say. She did say this. She goes, I'm not pretty anymore. I'm ugly, aren't I? I used to be pretty. I said, no, you're beautiful. She goes, Bruce, I look in the mirror every day. I said, well, you're beautiful, honey. But suppose I really looked at her and said, you know what? She is a pretty lady. But her skin isn't as smooth as it used to be. Her body's not as slender as it was 41 years ago. Her brain's not as sharp as it was 41 years ago. And she sure cost me a lot more at the doctor's office and pharmacy than she did 41 years ago. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to dump her. I'm going to get a divorce. And I'm going to ask God for a good, young, sweet-spirited Christian wife. And God, the emphasis is on young. Oh. And I ask this in Jesus' name. You promised there in John 15, verse 16, that whatever I ask in your name, you'll do it. Jesus isn't going to allow that to go through the bank, folks. Why? Well, we also have to pray in the will of God. In the will of God. Go to 1 John 5:14-15. 1 John, not John. We've been in John. Now go to 1 John. As Bob Hamlin would say, Genesis, Exodus, 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Have you ever heard him say that? He tells you some book of the Bible and he names Genesis and Exodus and he throws that book in there. Well, they are after Exodus, but 1 John's way after Exodus. It's shortly before Revelation. 1 John chapter 5. Now this is really exciting, folks. This is exciting. If you're wanting to see God do great and mighty things that we know not, like he promised in Jeremiah 33. If you're wanting to see not just the mercy drops in your life, but the showers of blessing. If you're wanting to see all your needs met. We saw that in Sunday school too. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Here it is. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, let's start in verse 13. I was going to have you start in verse 14. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now that is to save people or lost people? save people, those who believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we, is we to save people or lost people? Save. How do we know? Because of that conjunction and. This is written to those who believe on the name of the Son of God. They can know they have eternal life. Now, here's the second thing they can know. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Alright, let's say you're praying for a lost child or parent or mate or somebody to get saved in the tent meeting. And you're praying for them to get saved. Is that according to the will of God? Yes. How do we know? From the Bible. It says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. So you can get on your knees. And if you're a righteous man or a righteous woman, you can say, God, as far as I know, I'm right with You. Lord, I pray according to Your expressed will in the Bible that so-and-so get under conviction and get saved. Lord, that they'll come to the tent meeting or they'll read a gospel tract or somebody will tell them how to get saved. And God, I'm going to invite them to the tent meeting and give them a gospel tract. And God, that they'll get saved. According to Your will, You promised to perform this. You say, man, that's pretty bold, Brother Miller. I didn't lay out the conditions, God did. This is the confidence, it says. I've known women who prayed for over 25 years for their husbands to get saved. And their husband, I know one lady, she prayed for her husband over 25 years to get saved. He got saved and 2 years later he died and went to heaven. But she kept praying for 25 years. People said, Judy, maybe, you know, God doesn't always answer our prayers. Maybe it's not God's will to save Bob. She said, it is God's will to save Bob. Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Mary, you've prayed for over 35 years for Bill to get saved. Yes, and he got saved a year before she dropped dead. And they prayed with confidence because they were praying according to the will of God. I know somebody who's praying for God to give them $1,300 this week so they can pay a bill. And it's a legitimate bill. They didn't go down to Harrah's, the casino in Chester, and blow a bunch of money. It's a need. And they're claiming, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. They're praying with confidence that God meet that need. And so God answers the prayers of His obedient children who pray in Jesus' name. And now let me give you another one. They pray in faith. They don't insult God. Go just a few pages before 1 John. Go to James. James chapter 1. We saw James 5, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Look at James 1. In James 1, the Bible says, in verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, here's somebody that doesn't know what they ought to do in making a certain decision, or how they ought to counsel somebody. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. Gives what? Wisdom. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Think not that that man, or let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This passage says, if you're going to ask God for something, you need to have the confidence that He hears you, He's able to answer you, and He will answer you. Don't insult Him by asking Him for something that you don't really believe He can do or is going to do. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. You say, but Brother Miller, that's my problem. I don't have much faith. Well, my son and his wife, Annie, for Christmas this year, gave me a nice leather-bound book with nothing written in it. I said, what's this for? They laughed. They said, this year we want you to write down all the answers to prayer you get. They said, because you have so much faith, Dad, and you pray, and God answers your prayers. And we just want you to write that down so that when you die, I said, you think that's happening soon? We can read to your kids and your grandkids how God answers prayers. I said, all right, but I said, I want you to understand something. I don't have a lot of faith. Oh, you got great faith, Dad. No, I don't. And I'm not being super pious when I say this. I don't have much faith, really. I'm subject to like passions as you are. See? But I have a little faith in a great God. And a little faith in a benevolent, that means loving, kind, Heavenly Father. And a little faith in confidence that all the promises of God are yea and amen. I've just had a little faith and have prayed in house payments, church building payments, light bills, doctor's bills, health situations. Hey, when I was in the Army, God was working on my heart, and I was starting to little by little by little give my life over to God as I'd read my Bible in the barracks each day. And I got burdened. I had a godly grandmother and grandfather, and then I had an ungodly grandmother. I mean, she was ungodly, folks. She lived a wild and wicked life. And so I wrote to her how to be saved. I wrote her a letter and said, Grandma, I love you. But the Bible says that we're all sinners. I didn't say, you're an ungodly, wicked woman. I said, the Bible says we're all sinners. And I listed verses. And the Bible says that sinners, when they die, go to hell. And I listed verses. And the Bible says, though, that God loves sinners. He hates their sin, but He loves sinners. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And I wrote verses. And He died on the cross for our sins. He paid our penalty. So He paid our fine, so to speak. So we don't have to go to hell. He paid it. And I wrote verses. And He wants to give us not only forgiveness, but eternal life. And I wrote verses. And I said, Grandma, I'm going to pray that you get saved before you die and go to hell where we all deserve to go. And I gave her my testimony of when I was saved. I told her, in case she didn't notice, how her son, my dad, had gotten saved in his early 20s. I gave her some testimonies of people she knew who had gotten saved. And I said, Grandma, I'm going to pray that you get saved. Here's what you do to get saved. And I told her, you can just set this letter down and you can get on your knees right where you are and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And He said, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I was praying she'd get saved. I prayed for about 5 weeks. I got out of Fort Knox, Kentucky to go home for the weekend because my sister was getting married in Indiana. And my grandmother was coming from Ohio with her daughter, my aunt, and my uncle. And I didn't know she said this, but on the way over there she said, I'm going to make Bruce real happy this weekend. And my Aunt Virginia said, Mom, how are you going to do that? She said, I'm going to get saved. My Aunt Virginia wasn't even saved. My Uncle Ralph wasn't even saved. Later on, I asked them about that. They said, we remember that. I said, what'd you say? He said, it was quiet the rest of the way there. We didn't really know what she was going to do. So we didn't know if she was going to speak in tongues at the wedding or what. We didn't know. And so we had the rehearsal Friday night and the wedding Saturday afternoon. And the next day, I was there. My mom's sitting there. My dad's sitting there. I'm sitting there. My grandma's sitting there. She's only about this tall. All through the service, I'm praying, oh, God, please save Grandma. Please save Grandma Ruth. Please, God, save Grandma Ruth. I know what I'll do at the invitation. I'll ask her if she wants to go forward and get saved. The pastor, Pastor Brainine, he's 87 years old. He still preaches almost every Sunday. He's not a pastor anymore, but he's faithful to his calling. Said, now at the invitation, I'm going to come down front. And if anybody wants to get saved this morning, I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We bowed our heads, closed our eyes. I was getting nervous. I thought, oh man, what if she gets mad at me? I don't want to blow up, but God, I want my grandma to get saved. He prayed a prayer and he said, now when we start singing this song, if you want to be saved, you just excuse yourself from whoever's beside you. Step in front of them, step out in the aisle, come right down here. I thought, this is it. I got to say something to her. They start singing, just as I am. I turn to her. She's only this tall. She takes her elbow, punches me right in the gut, goes, get out of the way. I'm getting saved. Push my dad out of the way, push my mom out of the way, came over the aisle, came forward. The pastor talked to her, motioned a lady named Dorothy Abel to come over and take the Bible. Show her how to be saved. She got saved. See, that was a prayer that I could pray in Jesus' name according to His will. Man, don't you want that? Don't you want all your family in the fold? Huh? I want to say lastly, God answers the prayers of those that pray persistently, who don't give up. They don't give up. And that's where I'm going to start tonight. Be sure you're here tonight. But we're going to start in Luke 18:1. But I want to finish with a verse of people whose prayers God doesn't answer. He said, I thought that's tonight's sermon. Well, I want to finish with that. It's in James 4:2. It says, God doesn't answer the prayers that are not prayed. Ye have not because ye ask not. What would God do to reach this valley in this area for Jesus Christ if everybody that comes on Sunday morning is right with God and would show up every prayer meeting and pray every day? What would God do to this valley? Well, if we don't pray that way, He won't give it to us. We have not because we ask not. Contrast that with Jesus. We saw this in Sunday school. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Do you qualify? Are you a child of God? Is He your Father? He answers your prayers to His children. Specifically, the prayers of His obedient children. As far as you know, are you right with God? Are you obedient to the Word of God? He answers the prayers of those who believe that He is God Almighty and can answer them, those who pray in faith. Jesus said, whatsoever ye shall ask in faith, believing, that shall ye receive. He answers the prayers of those that are legitimately prayed in Jesus' name for His sake, His honor, His glory. And He answers those who pray persistently, like those two women I told. Those were real women, Judy. Mrs. Smith, Mary Giroud, really. Those were real women who prayed for years and years and years for their husbands to be saved. They didn't give up. But we have not because we ask not. Here's what I want to ask you to do. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Start to say, bow your eyes and close your heads. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Keep your ears open. Here's what I want to ask you to do. In a minute, when the instrumentalists play the invitation, we're not going to sing it. If there's something that God wants done and we need to be praying about it, somebody who's lost to get saved. Folks, your offering last week, your missions offering was good. Your general fund offering, if I read your bulletin right, was about half of what it needs to be. People who could be reached in this area during the Tent Crusade. People who are saved, but they've gotten out of touch with God, they're backslidden, could be reclaimed for Christ during that tent meeting or before. If we'd be right with God, exercising our privileges and our responsibility to pray. And in a minute, when the instrumentalists play, let's us come and get on our knees and pray. Praying for Pastor Gilmore and his health. You've prayed. God's answered prayer. But man, that thing is just still not right. His health nags him. Things to be made right. Maybe marriages that are shaky that you know of. Shaky marriages. Temptation of an old habit that somebody might be getting ready or they have given back into. Let's break things open in prayer. To do that, we have to be right with God. So how can I be right with God? Well, you can say, search me, O God, try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. And if God shows you something, confess it and forsake it. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Then we're righteous. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We can pray then. And expect God to answer. And give us great and mighty things that we know not. He'll answer in ways we never thought of. Let's stand. God, have your way in this invitation. May it be a time of confessing, forsaking. May it be a time of getting our hearts right with you. May it be a time of pouring out our hearts to you according to your will and your word. And may it be a time of you dispatching angels all around the world and the power of the Holy Spirit into people to convict them of sin and righteousness and judgment. A time of unleashing your power on the earth. For your sake. For your honor. For your glory. Like we saw in Sunday school, so we can make our boast in the Lord. Tell people what a great, powerful prayer-answering God you are. You didn't say if we pray in Confucius' name or Allah's name. You said, in my name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we ask this. As the instrumentalists play, why don't we pray? Come now. Say, I'm not sure if I'm a child of God. I don't know if He's my Father. Then I'm going to come down front here. Say, why are you doing that? I want to have somebody take the Bible and show you in just a few minutes' time how you can be sure that He's your Father. So you can pray not out of habit, but pray legitimately, our Father which art in heaven. We have not because we ask not. Can you tell me of some prayers that you've seen answered this week? You could tell me of people who answered their phone when you called them this week. Who sent back an email when you emailed them this week. Who sent you a text back when you texted them this week. How's your prayer life with God? The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much, God promises. Are you right with God? Do you qualify for answered prayer? Whether you came forward or not, every caring Christian ought to make a dash for that table in the back. Not my table, not to spend money. That table back there where the prayer list is and sign up for your hour of prayer. When we're dismissed. Sign up for several times. People are going to go to heaven or hell based on whether we pray or not. People will get right with God. Marriages will be salvaged if we pray and we're right with God. Our country could have revival if we pray and we're right with God. God, take these requests of your people. Work. Work on your behalf. Work on our behalf. God, open the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing so great that we'll not have room to receive it. God, send a great awakening to this area, a great awakening to our country. Lord, things are going on all over our country. Your seeds being sown. And you said, he that soweth much, reapeth much. God, the gospel's being sown again. 1.2 million people in the Charlotte area. God, give us enough workers, 1,000 workers, to knock on and invite 1.2 million people and hand them a gospel tract. God, your word's being sown. Help us to reap much. Thank you for the mercy drops. But you're God Almighty. You're not broke in the power department. Show yourself strong. Help us tonight to get the rest of this message in this series so our prayers can be answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Bob.
All right, you may be seated. We need to take a love offering, Brother Miller. Gentlemen, if you would come. And Brother Henry, would you ask the Lord to bless this offering?